Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Welcome everyone to today's episode of Move Around with Deborah. And I hope you're moving around. I know that so many folks are traveling again. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And travel is, I'll say this now and I'll say this again and I'll repeat it again, travel is one of the best educational platforms around. So I certainly hope that you're taking advantage of it. And if you're in charge and you're responsible for any children or anybody, open the world up to them. Now, today we're going to be talking about history. His story or her story, it doesn't matter, somebody's story. But that's what history is. It's the systematic study and documentation of past events. It was history when we began this show, not just but a mere 2 minutes ago. It's events of human activity, technological activity, you know, just everything that you come across of, that you can imagine, that is in the past, is history. Now, through history, you can learn past societies, systems, ideologies, governments, cultures, technologies, many, many, many things in figuring out and understanding how things were created, how they were built, how they were thought about, how they operate, how you can change for the future. You see, history has such a hard stamp on the future. A lot of times you can figure out, look at your history and say, okay, we don't want to do that again, and learn how to move forward. It is so much that you can learn from history and how to change your life for the future. The rich history of the world helps us to paint a detailed picture of where we stand today and the possibilities of our future. What does this have to do with travel? Everything. I tell you, you can point anything that you experience, any activity, any thought that you are having, and apply that to travel. It doesn't matter. And I challenge you today. I challenge you now. And I challenge anyone you might want to join us to give us a call today. And let's talk about it. Let's get your perspective. Why don't you challenge me in saying, okay, here's a topic that you cannot apply travel to. And I can say, well, let's see. So as you know, call in and join the conversation by calling 515-605-9325 and press 1 to join the conversation. If you just want to listen, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution and listen. And if you missed any of the segments of today's show or any other show that we have, you can certainly go into our archives and pull it up again, and I encourage you to. Because as you saw in the beginning in our introductory, we're here every day. And there's someone that's somewhere that's tapping in to your need. Now, to get started, I want to go first to identifying, and this is again something that will be repeated because it is so important to me and to others. Don't forget the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. That's right, dial 988. You can call it, text it, or chat 24/7. And I know it's for the entire United States. I haven't researched to see if it's for any other parts of the world, but I certainly know that there is something. Reach out to someone. I've seen some TikTok videos where people are doing different things to get the attention of others. So we want to focus on that. Now, weather, traffic, and airports, your first destination. Weather as it is across the country and around the world, it is challenging. There are many reasons for that. Our hearts go out to those who are suffering from the floods, the landslides, the mudslides, the earthquakes, the typhoons, the volcanoes, the snow, the rain, the cold weather. I just heard the other day where, and this goes back to that crisis hotline and mental illness where a woman and was going through some mental challenges, and she was just walking around the streets in the cold with her three children. And even though she tapped on some folks' the police said they couldn't find her. Well, eventually she was found after her oldest child woke up and got away, but she was found in the woods with her other smaller children, frozen to death. We have to watch out for each other. We have to know what's going on. We have to identify. See something, say something. Sometimes, yes, it is being nosy, but if you're going to save a life, okay, who cares? I'm nosy. Pay attention to what's going on around you and say something if you feel something. Now, let's go into traffic. I want to kind of flip the script because there's a lot of information I got today on traffic. Yes. One of the things is there's a new perspective that is not new and is pretty much common sense. It's called the move over for me. And they're asking you to make it your New Year's resolution. AAA and state police departments across the country are trying to focus on it. And, you know, you should make a habit of moving over when you see vehicles on the roadside. You hear a lot about vehicles that are on the roadside and somebody hits them. And you can't imagine, well, how did that happen? Because if we're focusing subconsciously, if you're focusing on a situation, sometimes your thought and your movements go toward that situation. So you want to be aware of how you're driving, and there are rules of the road. There's a book, Rules of the Road, that you should refresh on a regular basis and respect folks while you're driving as they are driving. Excuse me. But here's a New Year's resolution I want you to make, and I don't want you to forget it. On the average, excuse me, one tow truck driver is killed every other week while working on the roadside. However, victims also include stranded motorists. Yes. Nationwide, nearly 350 people are struck and killed outside disabled vehicles on a yearly basis. And we're not saying that these vehicles are stuck on the road in the path of traffic. A lot of times these vehicles are on the median. And for whatever reason, folks are just not paying attention and they're running into them. So AAA has made its New Year's resolution to spread awareness to Move Over For Me campaign. If you're part of the AAA and you want to get more information on it, of course, contact AAA. If you're not part of AAA, just pay attention. Now, roadside situations happen. Emergencies happen. You may be in the left lane, the far left lane, what is the fast lane, and you get a blowout. And it's challenging for you to cross four lanes of fast-moving traffic to get over to the right. So the only chance you have is to get over to the left lane. So what you need to do is get over as far as possible in either lane, whether it be the left lane or the right lane. If you get to that right lane, get there and move over as far as possible. And have flares or have some little flashlights that make the noise and the strobe lights that you can put on your cars at night so people, some type of reflectiveness so people can see you at night, because it's a lot of highway in the United States and a lot of places that are very dark. Unless you're approaching, you don't know that there's someone there. So prepare your vehicle and make sure that you be aware of folks on the side of the road. Now, if you see somebody broken down, shift over one lane to your left or to your right, whichever way it is. Make that a point. And it is a law that if you see an emergency vehicle with their lights on, you are supposed to shift over a lane just to be protective of what's going on. Remain alert at all times. Be a good passenger. Watch out for people. Be a good driver. I know you have those side drivers who are passengers, but listen to them. Pay attention. If you're a passenger in a car and you're in the front seat especially, help the driver, because the driver has a lot going on. They got to drive for them. They got to drive for the other people around. They have to drive in the front. They have to drive what's going on behind. It's just a lot. So if you could help a little bit, don't get excited, because that kind of scares some. But help them out. Watch for people on the side of the road for a disability. Or if you see something, say you see a big box in the road or a big metal things or something, call the local 911 and report it. You don't have to stop. Be careful going around it, but report it. Turn your hazard lights on if you are approaching something. You know those blinking lights, your hazard lights? Turn them on so that will illuminate to the person behind you, uh-oh, there's something going on up here, because they may not be able to see it. If you're able, make sure you know where your mile markers are. On the road with traffic, there's a mile marker every quarter of a mile. That's those little signs with the numbers on them that you probably didn't have pay attention to. They are very, very, very important, because if you get stranded, they're going to ask you, well, where are you? And you're like, I don't know. I'm in the middle of where? But if you remember what that last mile marker was, or if you can see one in the front of you, you could tell, and that's how folks can pinpoint where you are. Remain in your vehicle as long as you can, as long as it's safe to. And if you have to get out of your vehicle, get out not on the traffic side, even if you don't see anything coming, but get out on the other side. Get out in the traffic. Please watch for the traffic, okay? Those are just some of some tips. If you have any more tips that you want to share, call us. Let us know. Let's go on for some other new laws. Did you know that there is a new law in Illinois? I can just share with you what's going on in Illinois, that you should not be on the hook. If your car gets stolen and your car gets a ticket after you've reported it stolen or something like that, that's not your fault. You weren't the one that ran that light. The people who stole your car ran that light. You weren't the one that put that car in that no parking zone. No, you weren't the one, so why should you be on the hook for the ticket? You shouldn't. And so now in Illinois, you don't have to. That's House Bill 3772. Yes, all laws have House Bills to them. Also, here's a good tip. If your vehicle, if you live in Illinois, and your vehicle is manufactured in Illinois, this is for cars and small trucks, did you know you can get reduced vehicle registration fees? Yes. That's House Bill SB 3609. Yes, that's amazing. And then here's another tip for the seniors. Hello, seniors. House Bill 5304, to ensure more senior citizens are saving their money, this law reduces the vehicle registration fee for seniors from $24 to $10. Yes, yes, take advantage of that. And there are other laws that have been put in place. Please understand and know what you have that is available for you. Google is your friend. Google it. Now, maybe you don't have to necessarily believe everything. You have to vet it, and that's okay. But do that. Now, our next topic that I love that we touch on each and every show is the airport. You know, I know airports, they're our first destination. Whenever we're traveling, if we're flying, and most of us now are flying, although some of us are using the rail and we're still using the highway. So we've talked about the highway travel, and we'll talk about rail travel a little later on in the show, yes. But air travel, there's so much that was challenging with air travel just here recently. And if you were hung up in a situation where you were not able to make your connection, or you were delayed, or you lost your luggage, please know to contact that airline. I do know that one airline for sure is doing all it can to correct the challenges that they experienced during that holiday debacle, and making changes going forward. There was just a combination of situations. There was holiday travel, there was bad weather travel, and then there was folks that just could not get to their job position for whatever reason. And that's why a lot of that challenge was going on. So please understand, don't stop flying. Don't stop flying with your favorite airlines. It is okay. Now, I want to share with you, O'Hare International Airport was recently named the best airport in North America. Yes, yes, I am so glad. That's Global Travel Magazine has notated that. Now, Chicago Midway has also been named the best family-friendly domestic airport by Wherever Family, which is a division of Global Travel. Yes, I am so excited about that. The award rounds out a strong year for O'Hare, which is also named the most connected mega hub airport in the world back in September 2022 by Aviation Research Forum. Now, this is O'Hare's first return to the top spot since 2016, which I know some of that other airports, well, probably the ATL airport. And something else, learn those airport codes. It's very important if you travel. Some of the other things that happen at airports is via Aruba. Aruba is having a splurge, of course, in travelers, and they are growing. Oh, my goodness, Aruba is growing and growing. So Aruba Happy One Pass will soon be unveiled, and it will allow travelers to optimize airport check-in and process health requirements as part of their arrival into the island. And this is an app, and it will connect directly to the traveler's embarkation and disembarkation card to help you streamline getting through customs. Global entry for the Aruba Airport Authority and Customs and Border Patrol unveiled a remote global entry enrollment center for U.S. citizens, allowing United States visitors to expedite their departure from Aruba. So important. And if you have traveled internationally and come back into the country, you know that's why. Oh, my goodness, it is so, so, so important for you to have that passport. I hope everybody on my in my earshot either have their passport or are going actively to get their passport. How about you, Naima? Do you have your passport yet?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, I had to travel internationally and several times, and so definitely I think the first time was either 2016 or 2017, so I know I'm going to have to probably renew it within the next year to make sure it's current for, you know, before, because I think it has to be renewed in either 2026 or 2027. But, you know, you mentioned the O'Hare International Airport getting praise and accolations. One of the things that I noticed in traveling internationally, other airports, because I went to South Korea, went to China, went to Japan, I noticed that other international airports are much more conscious about having directions translated into other languages. And I noticed a glaring absence of that at O'Hare. And for Chicago to be an international city, I thought there's really not a lot of awareness of the needs of people who are coming here and English is not their first language. When I went abroad, everything was translated into at least 5-6 languages, you know, directions of where you had to go, and things had to be spoken on the air in the airlines during the trip. There'd be, okay, you have it in English, French, Spanish, Arabic, Chinese, you know, I mean, it was understood that you have an international travelership, you know, people who are heading to destinations in different countries where English is not the main language. And so there was accommodations made for that, whereas I didn't see that happening in American cities. I didn't see that happening in Chicago, and Chicago is an international city. And I thought, now, if I didn't live here and I needed to come here and then make a connecting arrangement to either another gate for my airport or, you know, for my connecting flight, or if I was trying to even just get to a bus to go to somewhere in the city, I'd be lost. There was no explanations in any other language. I think a couple of places there might have been Spanish, but that was it. And I know we have a large Polish population here. We have a large Arabic-speaking population here, certainly a lot of Spanish-speaking population, but there are so many other linguistic groups that just go neglected. And I think it's just a matter of us being more conscious of the global community. So, yeah, you know, in terms of its ratings as maybe, you know, a good airport, I think that has to do with probably individuals who provide good customer service. And that goes from person to person, because one rude person can destroy a whole company's reputation based on how they treat people. So I think if you come across enough people who are kind and considerate, then you're going to feel like, okay, this is a kind, considerate company. But if you get that one or two rude people that, you know, don't help you or dismiss you or make you feel bad or, you know, or misguide you someplace, then that's gonna cast a shadow over the whole operation. So probably, you know, the praise goes to the individuals who are conscientious and caring, and that's what they convey to the passengers, and that's why that O'Hare may have risen in rank.
Yeah. I do know that O'Hare has its own international terminal.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, been through that. And I will say, you know, because I did have a really interesting experience when I traveled to South Korea. No. That was the first time that I was taking my daughter to the airport when she first got the job overseas to teach in South Korea. You know, and I'm you know, the typical mother and everything, you know, take her all the way to the terminal and to the entrance of the gate. And then after she left, you know, we waved goodbye. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting emotional. And I start talking to the guard. He was just, you know, just security guard standing there. And I start talking about, you know, my daughter's going abroad and I'm getting ready to tear up and all that. And, you know, he just sit there and listen to me patiently, and he'd engage me in conversation. Yeah, I understand. Oh, it's going to be an interesting experience for her. I must have stood there about 30 minutes talking to that man. But I had to get it out because I was just feeling that emotion of my daughter going abroad. And he was very patient and kind and listened. So I think that was one of those human moments that you know, probably is what people experience, that they would say, well, this is a good airport. You know, people understand these kind of things, and they're patient.
Yeah.
So whoever that guy was, I do thank him for listening to me for 30 minutes. Let me cry. My daughter's gone.
They just finished remapping and redesigning their international terminal. Matter of fact, I traveled through it last year, and it was still under construction. But I have read that it has been completed. So I don't know, but that's something that I will have to look into.
Yeah.
I've traveled.
And this was pre-COVID. A lot of things changed after COVID. A lot of procedures, even behaviors. So just, I think it depends on how people dealt with that, because that changed a lot, because a lot of companies had to downsize, because like you mentioned, people couldn't get to work and things like that. That means you got more people doing more things that they can handle. They're getting more irritated.
Right.
So that does
you
matter.
You see, customer care, customer service is essential.
That's everything.
In all of this.
Yeah.
If you don't have that customer passion or to satisfy, you know, no matter what the situation is, because you can diffuse a situation with just a little compassion.
Yeah.
Just a little open listen.
Just listening.
Instead of speaking. Just
that
listen.
That makes a difference. Yeah. We got to take a break, but of course, when we come back, I know we're going to talk about rail travel. Just let me know when you're ready for me to pull up the video on the Pullman Porter Museum here in Chicago.
Oh, all right.
So we will be right back after this quick break. We want y'all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment.
Deborah, and fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it.
Somebody's history.
Somebody's history.
whether it's somebody's birth date or an event that happened, or, you know, some type of commemoration of a moment in history. You know,
right.
What we have now, well,
right.
We just got through with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday acknowledgement, point in history, and then now we're going to African American History Month and all of that, and, you know, that always brings up a lot of conversations about how far we've come in our progress or our evolution as a nation.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
On that.
And in schools, we're having the debates over.
Yes.
And in a lot of schools, there are debates on what things we should stop talking about because maybe it's too painful to keep bringing it up, so let's just let it go. You know, and I understand that.
No,
there's something to be
said. No,
we're
not letting it go. So that's why, you know what?
We don't
want to
repeat it.
In history. But we're going to focus on some direct history today.
Yes.
We're going to focus on some folks' history because they are trying to stifle history. And legally, they're trying to stifle history. Like you say, because it is uncomfortable. It is not, what was the example? I don't want my 7-year-old child to feel as though they're responsible for tragedies that happened in history. Well, first of all, teach your child how to deal with challenges.
You know, that's
you know?
An interesting question. And I'd like to throw a question out there for people as we look at traveling back in history and reliving how some of those things made us feel when we went through them. Are the people today directly responsible for what happened simply because they are genetic descendants of those people who were involved in making them happen? Do you carry guilt? Are the sins of the father revisited on the sons? I mean, in terms of because your great-great-grandparent did this, you are now guilty, and every time we bring it up, we bring it up to make you feel guilty for something someone in your ancestry did. And should you feel guilty? Are you responsible or are you not?
We are not responsible for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we're not responsible how our parents raised us or gave us lack of
guidance.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they did what they knew.
Our responsibility
knew.
Because they did not. We cannot hold them to a point that where it dictates how we live and how we go forward. But we have to be aware. We have to be aware for many reasons. We have to be aware so it won't repeat itself. We have to be aware so we can grow from it. And we have to be aware because it happened.
So
we're not going to say, okay, it was bad, and we're not going to think about it anymore. No, we have to think about it. We have to know about it. We don't have to live it, but we have to be aware of it.
So now, you mentioned museums. Of course, we'll talk more about that. But I remember going to the War Museum in South Korea, and the purpose for that museum was so that people could see the devastation and all those centuries of war, all the people killed, all the kinds of weaponry and machinery and ways of destroying the human body and all this horrible, shameful things that we did. And the idea is if we look at what we did, then we would never do it again. And yet, here we are doing it again.
We're
so
doing it again.
How do we learn from history by studying it if we don't stop doing the same behaviors that caused us to end up where we were? If we don't do something different, then how do we not repeat history? And
we have to start with us.
What do I change in myself?
You have to start with yourself, and you have to believe that more people, more human beings feel that that was wrong and not repeat that. So you have to put more of the positive tone into a situation than it was back then. Now, we don't know how the level of who encouraged it and who didn't. It could be a situation like we're going into now where the powers that be had the louder voice, and they kind of drowned out the folks who had the milder voice or the peaceful voice. They drowned them out.
Well, I guess
it could be that situation too.
But how does the few drown out the voice of the many? I really don't believe that the majority of people on Earth want killing to be the way we solve things, because there's no war, there's no winner in war. I mean, I kill more people than you, I won. If you go to war at all, everybody loses. So there is no winner.
It's not that more people want it. It's the people with the more powerful voice.
But how do they get more powerful unless
Because the folks with the
other people don't speak up,
are not strong enough.
Are they not strong enough, or they don't believe they're strong enough? Because I believe if government leader says,
"Oh well, you know, we don't have anything to do with it." It's just like voting.
Yeah.
You have people who don't vote because they figure their one vote don't count.
So they become the voice that isn't heard.
That voice is not heard. There was an election in Arizona, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and it was a statewide election, and they had to have a recount, and the one constituent won by 500 votes.
Yeah.
And that's a statewide election.
Yeah.
So can you imagine 500 people statewide said, it's too far, I don't want to go, it's too cold outside, it's too hot outside, they're not going to pay attention to my vote.
Yeah.
500 people for a statewide vote, that's where we lose our power. Because we figure, the big guy, they're going to do whatever they want to do anyway.
Stop it.
Hello?
Believe that your one voice matters.
Floridians.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, you know, I was watching a video by, Judge Lynn Toler, who has the show. She was talking about the first time she ran for judge, and of course she was running against a very powerful incumbent. Everybody thought, you ain't gonna win. You know, she just had a baby, she was a new mother. But she went out and she was going door to door and talking to people, talking to the constituents, pushing her child in the baby carriage and everything. And it came to election day, and you know, a few more minutes before the polls closed, and she stayed out there still talking to voters up to the last minute. And it turned out she won that election by 6 votes. So those last 6 people that she talked to came on out and supported her, and she won. So, the lesson of that is, first of all, never quit. And second of all, believe in people. You know, believe that if what you stand for is something that the majority really wants in their heart, then believe it enough to work for it. And then,
yes.
You know, third of all, every vote does count.
If you believe that, it will come to pass.
Yeah.
If not then, but in due time. But you still have to believe it. That's why I always say the politicians who don't win the elections, your stance, what you stand on, what you ran on, how are you going to continue your work?
Right.
Even though you didn't get in the office, you can still continue your work.
That's right. And sometimes your opponent will adopt your programs because they really made sense, even though they came from you and they didn't want to, like, steal your stuff while everybody's realizing, okay, wait a minute, that was that person's idea, not you saying it. But after they get elected, they might say, you know what, that did make sense. Let me do that.
That made sense because a lot of it does make sense.
Yeah.
Look at the situation we're in with the Chicago election.
Yeah.
Well, we got nine people
running. We're gonna have them on our shows, y'all, because we want to give everybody an opportunity to express their ideas. And I think, and last election, matter of fact, when we had all the candidates on, and you know, some people that I didn't even think I'd like.
You'll be a runoff because it will be a runoff.
Yeah, definitely will be a runoff. And you know, a lot of the people that I thought I was going to dislike just because I was, you know, thinking, oh, well, they're this, they're that. And when they came on the show, I was like, you know, I really kind of like this person. I mean, I wouldn't feel bad if they won. But
right.
you think that it's somebody you're supposed to hate because, you know, they're this, they're that, they're from that side of town or whatever. And so we assume a lot about people, but nobody knows who you are until you talk to them. So that's why you
right.
have to talk
and
to them.
Right, and until you fellowship with them.
Yeah, and see them
you
as
know,
a person.
And even those that say you're for one particular candidate, they don't win.
Mm-hmm.
Do you now alienate yourself from the process because
yeah. my person didn't win. I don't care about this stuff.
Right. No. We have to get stronger and we have to be better. And that's when we'll start overpowering the powers, the loud voices,
yeah.
the powers that be.
Yeah.
Recently, here before they went on break, Congress and the Senate, they passed some laws that were not necessarily favorable to the small person such as ourselves.
Yeah,
and
the regular citizen.
No, they focused on them, okay,
yeah. mm-hmm.
affluent, to make sure that they can hold on to their affluency.
Mm.
And now what about us? Now is, you know, you hear the senior citizens won't get their check. The veterans won't get their check. Now, it's not right now, but you need to pay attention to it. You need to pay attention. They're fighting, you know, and who's going to be the bigger person? You know, they talking about these documents that are found that I believe somebody put there.
It sounds like they're planted, right?
All of them don't say how
yeah.
But that's okay. But this other man who is in office, who was elected, has a menu, a grocery list of lies that have been
yeah.
verified.
Yeah.
And yet he's getting appointed to special seats. How are you getting appointed? How are you still there?
Well, you know, it's
that
a reflection
of a different person.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a whole, there would be people outside with signs, all kinds of stuff.
You know, everything.
The police would be out.
But everything we do tells the world who we are. So when we support people who are obviously dishonest, well, that's a reflection of our own dishonesty. So if
yeah,
we're truthful, then we will stand up for people who are truthful. And, you know, people who are greedy will support the greedy. You know, so every statement that we make or fail to make is really a declaration of who we are. And you look at a nation that continuously neglects people, the elderly, the veterans who were willing to risk their lives supposedly to defend everybody else's freedom and so forth, and you treat them badly. So what does that say about who we are? And they don't realize, the people who make these decisions don't realize, if you create an economy where masses of people don't have enough to spend, eventually it's going to lead to impoverishment for those who do have. Because if nobody can buy from you, then what's the value of what you have? It has no value. So you're just as poor as the people that you're depriving.
Right.
An economy of have and have nots doesn't work.
But by the time it trickles down, they'll change the name of the game.
Yeah. And so, I mean.
So we're back. Yeah. I
So this is why you study history to figure out, okay, we've been in this mess before, and if we do the same thing we did before, we're going to end up with the same mess we don't want. So let's do something different.
Different. History, learning from history. That's why it's important. And that's why you hold not the individual person accountable, but you hold the ideology accountable.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what you hold accountable, because that's what's still there, the idea.
Yes.
And that's what you have to change, the idea. So history is so, so, so important. Now you say, what does this have to do with travel? Everything. Because we travel to see our history. We travel to museums.
See what
we do. We travel to different regions of the world and see the pyramids. That's all history.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the pyramids that still standing through earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, typhoons, and yet you are building a house and that house gets wiped away.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, that lets you know that there was some period in time when we had knowledge and technology that is greater than what we have now. Because, like you say, these ancient structures that are still standing, still strong, and yet the house we build today, a little bit of wind and it's tore up and gone in a matter of minutes. In a good, strong hurricane or tornado, is gone. And yet these ancient structures are still there. So
do you think that it's the ancient structure or what? I mean, just what is it that is changed?
If
information is still there.
But if we examine, number one, how it was... See, the thing is, we keep thinking that we have all the knowledge that was ever known and nobody else has been smarter than us. But apparently if people do something and you don't know how they did it, that means they knew something you didn't know. So, and people who've looked at, say, pyramids, the structure of it, I mean, the way it's built, the kind of sturdiness that it provides in terms of, you know, it's not, you can't push it over because of the way the walls are. They slant over to a point. And then the way each brick fits exactly together. They're, you know, it's not like the way we have, you know, steel beams and you first you build a frame and then you build a house around the frame and all. These are blocks of stone that stick together exactly.
Yes.
And people cannot figure out how they did. Now, I did discover how. We'll talk about that in another show. That's another whole show. But there is a technology that they have that we don't have. Knowledge that they use that we have not used. We keep thinking, oh, they beat people and it was slaves dragging bricks. None of that. That's not how it happened. That's not how it was done. So when we evolve to the point where we're able to access the information that they use, the technology that they use, the laws of physics that they understand and we still don't know, then we'll be able to do the same. But if you study history, sometimes you're going to figure out somewhere people knew something you didn't know. And you got to figure out, well, how did that knowledge get lost? How can we reclaim it? How can we rediscover it? So we can do the good things that they did that do show that there are structures you can build that can withstand the strongest winds and rain.
Well, they figure... They'll do it cheaperly. Now, there are a lot of people who, like, live in caves, who dig out caves and whatnot, and they understand the structure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone who is building stone by stone or using the limestones and whatnot as they did before, because people figure, oh, that's pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Not pyramid, primitive, and they don't want to go back. They want modern.
Yeah, they think modern is advanced, and it's not necessarily
so. It's advanced. But did you know that and I'm going to just say this right quick, because when we come back, we're going to get into some history stuff. But did you know that there are, can build a home in, say, in California, where the fires, where your household can throw fire retardant, fire retardant siding and whatnot.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma, there's the way that they construct some of the homes that won't blow away in a strong wind.
Right.
So they have the way, I mean, if you can build a skyscraper in Chicago and that sucker don't blow when the wind blows or shift when the wind shifts or our earthquakes, our little shakes, because we are on a fault, everyone in Illinois understands.
Mm-hmm.
We are on a fault and we can have a bad earthquake at some point.
Yeah.
But they just don't want to invest in the income that it takes to have these. They figure it's not worthy.
Yeah.
I figure it is. Why not?
Short-sightedness also. I mean, when you don't think in terms of the time in which you may not be here, and yet the things you do are going to affect that time, that means you're not looking ahead to the life you're creating for your children and your
children's generations
to come. So that's one of the biggest faults in the way we live. We don't think how we're living is going to affect those coming after us. And so
it's
very selfish. Yeah, it is. It's definitely. You can't pollute today's air and water and expect tomorrow's generations to be able to live and breathe and not get sick and die.
Without toxicity.
Right. That's why we got all these diseases now. We're going to take this quick break and then we'll come back.
And we're going to go to a podcast.
All right. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after this quick message. And feel free to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a thought you'd like to share, feel free to press 1. And we will gladly take your comments after this quick break. So stay with us. You're going to make sure you can see.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor.
Oh, I can't hear.
I'm Dr. Willie Wilson.
And
I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Willie Wilson for mayor.
All right. Now, let's see. Did we not hear?
We didn't hear. Right. I didn't hear.
Let me try it again. Okay, quickly, let me see if I can. What happened to our sound? I think I have all the sounds up. All right, you can hear me though, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me try it one more time. Yeah, I could hear it on my computer, but I don't know why you all couldn't hear it. So let me try again and see if we can hear our dear brother, Dr. Willie Wilson.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message. Paid for by Willie Wilson.
Kids. I don't know why. Some reason to... We weren't hearing the sound, is that?
Only for his commercial.
That is really odd. Well, let me see. Well, you know what? Let me quickly just do the audio version and see if that works. I don't know why that happened, but we'll just see what's up with that. I got a clue as to why that happened. All right.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Ago, it was WBEZ 91.5 News.
Florida.
And they may think of the Indiana Dunes. These places in two states are not often linked, but they are part of one distinct area, the Calumet region. WBEZ's Michael Puente reports on a new exhibit at the Field Museum that tells the story of this area with its own culture and heritage.
Alfonso Quiros walked four blocks nearly every day for more than two decades to get to his job installing doors inside passenger trains for the Pullman Company. He'd often take his own lunch.
I brought my lunch bucket over 22 years, going to work every day, walking to work every day, and I brought my ham and cheese sandwich and a thermos full of hot coffee.
Quiros, whose parents were Mexican immigrants, never thought that black steel lunch pail he bought at Sears in the 1950s would one day be on display in a museum, the Field Museum, no less.
Like I say, if the lunchbox can talk, it could tell you some real good stories.
After Pullman closed in 1981, Quiros worked two more years at the company's other plant in Hammond, Indiana, just a couple of miles away from his home where he still lives. The 86-year-old Quiros says even though there are two states, the connections with other industrial cities like Blue Island, Gary, and Michigan City make the Calumet region unique.
There's a lot of history, hidden history, forgotten history of the Calumet area.
It's a crossroads of the continent. It's a crossroads ecologically. You've got tallgrass prairies, you've got hardwood forests, northern forests, and dry landscapes and wet landscapes all coming together here.
Mark Bowman is the Chicago Region Program Director at the Field. He helped put together the museum's Calumet Voices National Stories exhibit that looks at the indigenous past of the region, the introduction of heavy industry, and the movement to reclaim and restore lands impacted by pollution. Bowman says the region spans five counties, two states, and 1.5 million people.
Southern end of Lake Michigan, from roughly Blue Island.
Yes.
Roughly Michigan City. It's the dunes, it's the industries, it's all the neighborhoods in between, south to roughly the Kankakee River.
The exhibit features artifacts such as tobacco pipes and strands of wild rice from the indigenous tribes that call this area home, including the Shawnee and Potawatomi. There are 18th century maps showing the area before wealthy
George Pullman, John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie.
Like George Pullman, John D. Rockefeller.
Yeah, so,
Andrew Carnegie.
Yes. So it's a lot. I just wanted to share that this region, your region, wherever you live in the world, not only the history spans out, and you could tap on. I mean, the beginning of it, they were talking about how his lunch bucket that he carried every day back and forth to work. I think about riding a train, your ticket. We used to have those 10-ride tickets or those monthly tickets or those tickets. They tell a story. Your bags that you carry, they tell a story. The shoes that you walk, they tell a story. It's all about history and the story that they tell, that you tell. You are an historian in yourself. And your region, and we could span out more, but their family is history. Now, Naima, we spoke about how history has been changed right here in the Chicago area, just here recently, how the Pullman Center that we have, a lot of people don't realize history, the museum that we have right here on 111th and Cottage Grove.
Yeah.
On the south end. You know, people think about 111th and Cottage Grove. They think about something else. They think about the 5th District. But, yeah, show us the video that you have, and then I have a couple of others to follow up on with that as well.
Yes. Now, this, of course, as you mentioned, the Pullman Porter Museum, it preserves that history of the Pullman Porters, and they really had a profound effect on a lot of things that happened in America.
And one of the institutions that they helped to grow was the Chicago Defender newspaper, because Pullman porters were the ones that were carrying those papers and distributing them as they traveled across the country. So that was one of the major incentives for people to leave the South and come north. So we know about that, the Great Migration. They were largely responsible for that. And the Pullman porters were the ones who did a lot of organizing in the civil rights movement. So the museum recently announced that it's building a new wing and is going to dedicate it to the civil rights work of one of Chicago's major figures here now in Chicago. Started out in the South with Dr. King, but Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. and his work is going to be subject of an entire wing in the Pullman Porter Museum. So we were there for that announcement, and we're given a little bit of history about the Pullman porters and their impact. And so I'll play this, just about 5 minutes I'll play this, and you can get an idea of the impact that the Pullman porters had, not just on the African American community.
I'm a Filipino American, I learned so much from this museum.
Early
part of the last century.
Something's happening with
this
sound.
George Pullman brought in Filipino and Mexican labor to try to wedge, to try to stop the organizing, the organizing. But people back then, they realized like they were being used.
So are you not hearing the sound?
By George Pullman, to perpetuate the inequity and the unfairness.
Okay, let me try something.
Discrimination.
Okay.
And after a while, the Filipino workers, they realized, like, why are we being used as wedge? So they joined the Pullman Porters, the Brotherhood, and they became part of the Brotherhood, the Pullman Porter sleeping car porters.
Yeah, it's a lot. The Pullman idea was one of the first biggest industries in this region. And everybody knows, I see a little conductor pulling back here.
So let me see if I can pull the sound from another device here. We'll try that in a minute. But of course,
from this museum and from the history of the Pullman.
Okay, I have another one talking about what just happened just here recently with the Pullman Porter and it being elevated to a historical site. Let's see.
So here, I'll pull this one up.
It has now been elevated to National Historic Park status. Ty Martin explains how it honors labor and civil rights leaders.
This event is years in the making. The Pullman community remembers that day way back in 2015 when President Obama gave the site national monument status. What followed? Years of renovations to the burned-out clock tower and grounds, and now, part of last month's omnibus spending bill, this is a national historical park.
The main difference is about permanence. The Act of Congress is a lot harder to undo than a presidential proclamation.
The park tells the story of the most well-known planned industrial community in the U.S. The Pullman car and the workers who built them influenced America.
And I've been here almost 10 years. We've been working on this project, and I am so thrilled that it finally happened. I'm thrilled what President Obama was able to do, but as you know, one president can do it and another president can undo it. So now, with an act of Congress and the president signing it into law, it's a national park.
With this elevated status, the National Park Service does have to change all the signs over. Congressmember Kelly told me that she started this work back in 2013, standing on the shoulders of her predecessor, Jesse Jackson Jr., and she says she is excited to see this come to fruition. In Pullman, I'm Kai Martin, NBC.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, that is some awesome sauce there.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. A lot of people don't know that Labor Day, the holiday that we celebrate in September, the Pullman porters were very instrumental in having that become a holiday or bringing that to awareness. And a lot of people just figure, okay, this is another holiday. We can go out and do whatever we do. But focus on labor and the unions that we have today and how they are supposed to help with navigating the way and effectiveness of our work ethic, our work areas, and the relationships that workers have with the businesses that they work for. Labor. Respect. So, yeah, the Pullman has been around and been very influential in a lot of things, and I am proud of this designation. And the museum is there. They're closed now, but in the summertime and in the spring, they have the open walking tours because the workers used to live there at
and that was an area where they lived, yes.
Yeah, so if you're on a train, an IC train, or you're riding down Cottage Grove, you can see the different apartments.
Right.
And it's amazing how industry, the powers that be, the owners and the upper echelon, the upper management, how each home or unit was identified as how it was structured.
Yeah.
So the square footage, the upper management had big homes, and the square footage was of such. And then the lower management or the labor workers, they had the smaller walk-up stores, tabular houses, so to speak. And that's the same thing. It's similar in Blue Island. You know, if you travel through Blue Island, and there's the Blue Island, every town has a historical center.
Yeah.
And you should visit your towns or your area's historical center. But
right.
Blue Island has a lot of history similar to Pullman. Pullman focused on the railroad, of course, because it was on the rail line. The rail line came up from the south.
Right.
That was the road, the highway, but now Blue Island tapped into that as well as Harvey.
Yes.
They tapped into that, and they had a lot of industrial manufacturing jobs, and you see mansions still in Blue Island.
And, you know, that's something that people, when we look at history, what happens economically when industries move and you have whole communities that were built around an industry. Then when the industry's gone, how are the people supposed to
sustain
themselves?
Look what happened. Look what happened to Gary.
Right.
And
the auto industry left, everything fell apart. So that, again, we talk about not having foresight as to how a decision today is going to help the community tomorrow. We got a caller on the line. Would you like me to open the mic?
Oh, welcome.
And
we have someone from Facebook said good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Perry. Yes, thank you for joining us. Yes. Feel free to write in your comments as thoughts cross your mind. We'll share them with our viewing and listening audience.
And we have a caller on the line.
Area code 312-848. Your mic is open. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Are you there, 312? Well, maybe you're on mute.
Check your mute on your phone.
Check your mute button. I understand. And we have, we talk about, I'm so excited about this. Did you know that in the Chicago area, I had it written down. Okay, where did I write it? There are over 60 museums in the Chicago area alone in Chicago.
Wow.
Period.
Over 60. Now I only know about maybe five or six.
Oh, my goodness.
Google is your lifestyle.
Yeah, I need to discover all this is here.
But there are, well, of course, one that we all know about, the Museum of Broadcast.
Yeah, we knew that. Oh, that's right. Museum of Science and Industry, the DuSable Museum. Was that the planetarium?
Bronzeville
is that considered
Children's Museum?
Bronzeville Children's Museum.
The National Veterans Art Museum.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Art.
I didn't know about
Mexican
that.
Art. That's
didn't
a,
know that
ooh,
one.
I've been to events there. American Toby Jug Museum.
Didn't know about that one.
Pritzker Military Museum. The Design Museum of Chicago. Hello. These art folks, Block Museum.
So the Art Institute is considered a museum, too, isn't it?
Who is that?
The Art Institute, isn't that considered a museum? I don't know.
Oh,
yes. Is it? Okay.
Yes, that's one of the main ones.
Yeah.
There's a Puerto Rican Arts and Culture, McCormick Bridge House, Chicago River Museum, the Center for Intuitive and Outside Arts, the Irish American Heritage, Lincoln Park Conservatory, that's considered a museum. Let's see. I'm trying to pick out some crazy ones that folks would not know about. The Newberry Library is a new museum. If you're looking to research for your family history,
I did not know
that's
that.
A good place to go to, the Newberry Library. And, of course, the Harold Washington Museum. Walt Disney's birthplace is identified as a museum.
Now, wait a minute. The Harold Washington Museum, is that – that's not the same as the library or the culture center?
That is the library.
It's the library,
downtown.
Okay. That's considered a museum.
That is identified as a museum.
I didn't know that.
So, and most of them are – you don't have to pay to get in. And that's just again, that's just for Chicago. Then we have one for let's see, the United States. I mean Illinois. Illinois has one. Let's see. I mean we just have them all over. I love the fact that we have one that. I hope to talk a little bit about, and it's the largest museum in the United States is the Smithsonian.
Ah, yes, yeah. You know, I recently, when I was in Washington, D.C., you know, passing through there, and I went to the Post Office Museum, the Postal Museum, which is interesting because, I never would have known.
Yes.
It's right next to the train station, so I happened to be, you know, at the train station and had a bit of a layover, so I went over to the museum, and it was really fascinating because you don't know, the whole history of the post office here in America and the Postal Service and when they actually came up with the postage stamp was actually a means whereby they were generating revenue to pay the postal workers. So that's what that stamp was supposed to be for.
The stamp store,
And I mean, all of that, and the postal planes, you know, the whole plane design to just carry mail. So there's a lot of things that I found really fascinating. And you don't really think about it. And all the different people that have been on a postage stamp, people you never think of, like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
I mean, all kinds
of historic things that they put on a postage stamp. And, of course, I was talking to our own Mama Dee the other day, and she's in the process of working on getting Mamie Till and Emmett Till on a postage stamp.
You know what you could get, now nationally, she's trying to work on it to get a national stamp.
Yes,
but I found that you could actually request, say, if someone,
like a local stamp.
And this is what I found, someone passed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to send the thank you cards out, you can get stamps with those pictures on it. You know,
I think I've seen companies
pictures.
To do that. Yeah.
Yes.
I think you like pay for the you know, whatever the cost of the postage is, but you can't get those customized stamps made. That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So you can get a stamp. Now we certainly hope that Mama Dee is successful in her drive to get those other stamps, but
Any museum.
What the man said that his lunchbox was in the museum.
Yeah,
so
like
lunchboxes. period.
Yeah.
There are train museums.
Yes.
All over. There are car museums.
Yeah.
We have
life,
a car
life
museum
itself.
Right here in the Illinois, Bolo cars. You know, Kellogg Cornflakes.
Yeah.
They have a museum up there in Michigan.
Yeah. Now, there's a Kellogg Center, I think is at Tuskegee, I believe. I think that might be their headquarters. That was interesting, though, because there's always so much history behind these companies that were started, you know, decades ago. And when you go to these places that preserve things like a lunchbox, then you find the personal human stories behind what happened.
Behind it.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
We got.
I look at a program made in. Is it made? That's how it's made.
Oh,
I look
seen
at that
before.
Program. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting.
I've watched that.
How
before.
It's made. So yeah, we got to go to another commercial.
Yeah, and we got a couple of callers. A couple of comments here. Perry Perry says, "Wow, 60 museums, amazing. Are they still open to visit?" Well, I know.
Most of them are.
Some. I know that the Pullman Museum is temporarily closed from COVID, and I think they're in construction renovations, but they'll be open again soon.
Right,
and
right.
Mary Perez says, "Thank you for sharing this great information. Would love to go. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
And a lot of times. Yes, and you know, a lot of times people don't think about going to a museum unless it's a school field trip. I think that's probably the only times that I've been to museums. But really, parents, hey, take your children to
education.
Museum. You know,
education.
You don't have to wait
your
for the school to do it.
Are stifled because you don't give them the power.
Yeah.
You don't give them the power. And if you take your children to a museum, you know, one-on-one, not with a big class necessarily, but one-on-one.
Well, they can
and
ask you questions.
Conversations.
Right.
Look at the thoughts. Look at what you're feeding, the knowledge that you're putting in their brain and what they can generate from that knowledge. It is just a win-win.
Right.
It's
absolutely.
A win-win.
It's a win-win.
Whenever I go, I travel, I try to find a unique museum to go
That's
visit.
Good. Yeah. Well, we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago. For your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars, available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
And I will answer your question if you have a concern.
about how to travel, or you got into a situation while you were traveling and you need some way to kind of navigate to get out of it, talk to me. Let me know what challenges you have, and we'll see if we can give you an answer to change it or to fix it. You know, some stuff can be fixed. You know, everything is not doom and gloom. It may seem like it, but if you get more than one thought, more than one person together, you can figure it out. So we're here talking about history today. We're still making history. When we started this call, we were starting the history plan. This was the history lesson for today. Are you in with it? Are you on top of it? We have so much. So now, Naiva, do we have anybody on the line?
Let's see now.
If not, I got a video I want to show you right quick.
Let's see. Well, let me open up the mic again and make sure, and then we'll go to your video.
I can talk too about here is something I want to share with you all as well. Let's see here.
Yeah.
I hope I pull up the right one. Yeah. I'm still working on my tip. Okay, the Smithsonian is a collection of museums. So collectively, it's one of the largest museums in the world.
So this one you want us to pull up?
Pardon?
What you have on your screen, you want us to pull that up?
Yes.
Let me see. This is it? Oh, okay, there we go. Smithsonian.
Yes. Again, the Smithsonian is found, it's in Washington, D.C. Now, that's a museum that you weren't able to get to. It's a huge complex. It's home to 21 museums and the National Zoo. So you have the Anacostia Community Museum. That is a museum of look it up. History. That's an African American history museum in itself. And it was based out of Maryland, I believe. There's the Arts and Industry Building, the Cooper Hewitt Smithsonian Design Museum, the Sculpture Museum, the Air and Space Museum, National Museum of African American History and Culture. Huge! Huge!
Wow.
And it is, I mean, everything. History and culture, from music to dress to fashion, everything. And there are long lines. I would suggest that if you're traveling to Washington and you want to visit any of these museums, you make sure that you pre-register even before you travel to make sure that there's an opportunity for you to go. Look at the National Museum of American Indian, the National Museum of Latino History. Here's the Postal Museum that you saw.
Yes.
Art Museum, Field of the Castle, the Gardens, American History, Women's History Museum, and, of course, the Zoo and Conservation Biology Institute. So, you've got all of these museums in one spot.
Wow.
Trust and believe you're not going to be able to visit any of those all in one day. It'll take a couple of trips because I think someone was telling me it took them 2 days to complete the African American History Museum.
Oh, wow.
2 days because they're different levels. They're four levels, and they'll tell you how to travel. It's just like when you go to Memphis and visit, my mind's gone. You go to Memphis, and Memphis got quite a few museums, too. So you don't have to go to the big cities to get to the museums. you can go to Memphis in small towns and see their museums. I went to a couple of museums in Memphis, no line, no wait. I went to a museum in Kansas City. All these little small towns, you can go to museums. So if you're going to visit family, say if you're going to Back Roads, Iowa, to visit family, there's a museum in Back Roads, Iowa. Get to know the area. Get to know the people. Get to know what you're doing. It is a quite a bit of information that we have. One of the other largest museums in the world is the Louvre in Paris. I believe that's where it is. It's in Paris. Am I right? Yeah, the Louvre.
How's it spelled?
L-O-U-V-R-E.
Yeah, Louvre or something like that. Yes.
It's the largest museum on earth.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. So, I mean, if that's what you want to do, if that's on your bucket list to visit the largest museum in the world, then travel to Paris. Travel to Paris with me next year. We're going to be going to Paris next year. So, we're getting out of this campground.
Wow.
Not only do the museums bring information to you, but there are also economic connotations with going through some of the museums and what they have to share. And I am going to pull up just a moment. If you can bear with me, I just want to give this information to folks because I know, and I just shared that page, if you don't mind, Naima, opening up that page that I'm sharing.
Okay.
It is, and this, how was your Amtrak travel?
Mine was good. I didn't go to the dining car this time, but last time I did, and I always meet interesting people there because people are so nice and friendly, and that's really what makes travel interesting. You meet people.
Interesting. Yeah.
This is a one-time acquaintance. You probably never see them again in life, but you know you end up sharing a lot of things. And
while you're there. You're there.
Yeah.
That's where it counts. And I'm so glad that you had a safe journey during the time that you traveled.
Yeah, nice people.
And you made it back safely. But here's some information. Amtrak is providing scholarships for those who want to advance the future of rail.
Wow.
Rail is so important. I used to get upset when I had to stop and wait for the train that was, like, never ending. Or it had to stop because I was near a switching yard. But whatever you're eating, wearing, or utilizing, it's transported by rail.
That's right.
If the railroad stops, you're going to miss out on something.
Yeah.
So we talk about going further in education, scholarship program, and the Pullman Porter has a scholarship here, the Philip Randolph for children, spouses, civil union partners or domestic partners of Amtrak employees, retirees, or furloughed employees can get in on this. They have apprenticeship programs. So reach out to Amtrak scholarship program. Now, someone told me Amtrak was bought out by some European company, and, you know, I had to do my research. They are not. Amtrak is owned and operated by the United States government.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't really know if Amtrak was publicly or privately owned. I didn't know.
The government. Now, I heard Greyhound. Greyhound was bought out by a European country.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That was, so if you travel Greyhound and you're wondering why you're not being handled or being able to speak to anybody, or, you know, that may be one of the reasons. But, you know, I was on the phone earlier today with someone helping them with their phone, and they were talking to us from Dubai.
Oh, wow. A lot of your telemarketers now, definitely. a lot of your telemarketers.
It may be a robot.
Yeah, if you get one of those voices that sound like a machine, it probably is.
Yes. But what does that say about our infrastructure and where we're going?
Yeah, a lot of artificial intelligence
being used. You don't want to talk to a robot, or you don't want that company to deal with someone somewhere else that you don't quite understand. It's not the fact that they were somewhere else, because I was talking to them about how was the weather. But you want to be able to understand them.
Right.
And if there's something that you're not getting customer service, okay, create your own customer care line. You can provide customer service to many of the industry folks. You've got the contractors who are out here busy, say the electricians. They're out here busy doing electrical work. They don't have time to answer their phone. You have a mindset that the customer care is not what it should be. When somebody calls to get help or make an appointment or something, then create your business. Start teaching folks how to. You can be in business to educate somebody as to how to act in customer care. You can take your business and then contract with the local store that you had a bad problem with and take it to the management, take it to the owners. And you could be a subcontractor to go in and train their employees on good customer and good ethical responses to people. And that will enhance their business, because now I'll go back, because if I'm not happy, I'm not going, why should I spend my money, and you got an attitude with me, and I'm going to spend my money with you too?
Right.
That don't add up.
Definitely not.
So you have a mindset, you at home or you're retired and you need some extra change. Here is a business where you can make your own hours. You don't have to clock in 9 to 5. You don't have to get out there on the bus every day in the cold, rain, snow, wet, or heat. You can create your own business. Learn how to create your own business. There are organizations that provide free education on how to create your own business.
Yeah.
Travel, being a travel advisor, that is a business. If more folks had a travel advisor that was out there stuck, they would know who to call, what to do before they got stuck.
Right.
The people who said they had a travel agent, I don't know if they had a travel agent or just somebody who was selling them tickets, but when they got to the cruise ship, which is another museum in itself, cruise ships have museums on the ship. They have portraits, and they sell portraits from the museums. Yes.
Now that museum, I didn't know. Yeah.
Museums are everywhere. You know the airport. I showed you how the airport had museums when we traveled one time. I said, you see that wall over there, a portrait? That's the museum.
Mm.
You know, one of the biggest airports that has a big museum presence is the Atlanta Airport.
Wow.
They have corridors filled with them. Yes, there's always something somewhere. So where is your mark? You look at and you want to wear the biggest designers, and you want to spend your money as the biggest designers. Get your own design. Create your own design. You can do it.
That's right.
They need it.
It's not hard. It's not impossible.
And if you don't know how to, look at the history.
Yeah.
Look at the history. One of today, I was reading again, they transported one of the biggest guitars into Chicago and to the Rock and Roll Museum.
Mm.
I think that's at the Hard Rock Halfway State, the Rock and Roll Museum. Look at the McDonald's. That museum downtown, the Hard Rock or whatever.
Yeah, that's a museum. Yeah, and
McDonald's itself, their corporate offices has a McDonald's museum.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
it's found everywhere.
Yes.
So history is everywhere, but you have to learn from it. Don't repeat bad history. Embellish on history. Build on history. Be a historian. You are already a historian, but shed light on the fact. Put the spotlight on you, or put it on the children. There are upcoming webinars that if you want information, if your children are into space travel or into astronomy or into the arts, there is about to be a platform where travel advisors could sell space travel.
Uh-oh, I'll be in line for that one.
Commission that is going to be off the chain. You sell 2 space travels a year. Oh, you said.
Yeah,
I'm
ready to
travel the world the rest of the year because you made your commission.
I'm ready to travel the galaxy. I'll be looking for that. Yeah.
And you say, well, I don't know anybody who has or who can afford that. You don't have to know them.
You never
know. You just have to know your business.
That's right.
And know how to market yourself.
That's right.
And they'll come to you. They're looking for someone because they're busy doing their business. The lawyer doesn't go to another lawyer to get healed. They go to another professional. They go to a doctor.
That's right.
Because they don't have time. Sure, they could probably do some kind of healing themselves, but they don't have time.
Right.
Because
they're lawyered
up.
There you go.
You know, so the doctors, they don't know have time to go to court because somebody is suing them for malpractice.
So they call a lawyer.
So be a professional in whatever idea you've got. But be that professional. You can do it.
That's right.
I have faith in you.
You can do it.
And we can change the world for the better.
That's why we're here. Yes.
I love you all.
I was hoping to be able to show that Pullman Porter Museum video, but if you want to see it, you can go to onaireverywhere.com and just click where it says, what is it, art, culture, and...
Well, I know we have to end the show,
right,
but we can have to blog talk show, but you can still show it.
Yes, absolutely. And I was just trying to figure out why the sound wasn't working on the videos I was showing. So I'm sure it's some kind of technical thing. So
yeah, that's okay.
But of course.
Now, how do you say we can find it?
Just go to onaireverywhere.com. That's our news website, which, of course, is going to soon be launching as a TV network. You'll be able to go to On Air, which stands for Online Network, Internet Radio Host. But you can go to onaireverywhere.com, and right there in the arts and culture section, just click on that, and the museum video will come right up. And it's very inspirational. So go and watch it. And we will certainly be back here tomorrow for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata.
Yes.
So
Viata will be here. Let's see. Do we have...
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show.
You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche, India, Japan,
that's right.
If you see a red flag,
Kamsahamnida,
it means stop.
Russia.
You better get one of them white things with the blue line through it. You know, them safety things where you
there you go. Yes.
You better stop it.
That's right. And you know the thing about it, there's no such thing as a failed relationship. There's a relationship that served its purpose, which was to teach you something about yourself. So if in the process of learning about yourself, you learn that you and this person are not a compatible match to continue on a personal relationship, then the relationship served its purpose. So there's no failure.
No, and there's nothing ever 50-50. Never, ever, ever. Do you believe it's 50-50? It will never be 50-50.
Well, you know, if you're keeping score, that lets you know there's something right there. You know, well, I paid for the meal last time, so it's your turn now. Or I paid more on this bill than you did. I mean, if you're keeping score, trying to make sure it's even, that means there's something inside of you, perhaps, that needs to be altered so that you can love unconditionally and without keeping a scorecard.
Right, that's not
real love.
Remember, when you point that finger, you got... These three
more point back at
you.
That's right. Well, all right, so we will see you all next time on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show.
Peace and blessings.